Imagine pulling this massive, leather-bound encyclopedia off a library shelf, opening it up, and finding literally nothing but blank pages. That cognitive whiplash, that sudden crash between what you expected and what you actually got. Well, that is exactly what we are dealing with today.
It really is.
Yeah. So welcome to today's deep dive. If you are joining us and I'm talking directly to you, the listener who comes here to just cut through the noise, our mission on this show is always exactly the same. We take a stack of your sources, your articles, your research, and we extract the most valuable nuggets of knowledge.
Right, the actionable stuff.
Exactly. We want to be your shortcut to being well-informed. But okay, I got to say, I'm looking at our source packet today, and I just have to laugh. We promised you a deep dive into the mindset of professional investing, but our source literally just gave us the title.
It is quite literally a blank slate. Yeah. And, you know, while it might initially seem like we have absolutely nothing to work with, it actually presents a really fascinating opportunity.
Oh, for sure.
Because as an analyst, my core belief is that critical thinking has to begin with accurately assessing exactly what information is in front of us. And perhaps more crucially, understanding how our brains react when the information we expect simply isn't there.
Okay, let's unpack this because I want to be completely transparent with you, the listener.
Hmm.
Let me just read the entirety of the factual content provided in our grounding source today.
Go for it.
So it starts with this tag. New source excerpts from How to Think Like a Professional Investor. And that is immediately followed by the title itself, How to Think Like a Professional Investor. And that's it.
That's the whole thing.
End of document. I mean, no text, no data, no bullet points. So I have to play devil's advocate right out of the gate here.
Mm-mm.
Wait, let's be real. Isn't this just a clerical error?
Well, sure. It could be.
Right. Like, aren't we over-intellectualizing a broken link or a missing PDF? Why shouldn't we just pack up and go home?
That is honestly the most logical first assumption. It very well might be a clerical error. But from an analytical standpoint, whether it's a broken link or some intentional philosophical statement, it doesn't actually change our relationship to the text right now.
How so?
Well, we are standing here holding a signpost with no destination. And what's fascinating here is how quickly the human brain tries to fill that void. If we just dismiss it as a clerical error and walk away, we miss out on a profound stress test of our own analytical framework.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we miss the chance to examine exactly how much heavy lifting a title does before we even read a single word of a text.
I see what you're saying, but it still feels a bit like, I don't know, trying to review a restaurant based entirely on the font they use for the menu on the window. Like, we don't have the meal.
Exactly. We don't have the meal, but we do have the menu, and the menu was designed to make you hungry.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
It was designed to trigger very specific psychological expectations. If we break down the syntax and the linguistic architecture of the phrase, how to think like a professional investor, we can actually learn a tremendous amount about how knowledge is marketed to us.
Right, the marketing aspect.
And more importantly, how our own cognitive biases make us susceptible to those marketing tactics.
All right, I'm willing to go down this rabbit hole with you. If we can't analyze the investing techniques because they literally do not exist in the source, I guess we have to analyze the shape of the container.
Precisely. We have to analyze the promise itself.
So how does this specific title, this specific arrangement of words, build an expectation?
Let's start with the very first two words, how to.
Okay.
From a linguistic perspective, how to is not just an introduction. It is a transactional contract.
The contract.
Yeah. When you read how to, your brain immediately shifts from a state of passive reception to a state of active procedural anticipation. You are no longer just gathering facts, right? You are expecting an instructional framework. You are expecting causality. Do A and B will happen.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's the difference between a book titled The History of the Internal Combustion Engine and a book titled How to Fix Your Car's Engine.
Exactly.
One is just passive knowledge and the other is active utility.
Precisely. And human cognition craves active utility. We are heavily, heavily biased toward actionable information.
Because it's useful.
Right. From an evolutionary standpoint, actionable information is what keeps us alive and helps us navigate our environment. So when a source begins with how to, it bypasses our critical filters and taps directly into our desire for mastery.
It promises a shortcut.
Exactly. It says, you know, you don't need to spend 20 years making mistakes. I'm going to give you the operational manual.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. It doesn't say how to trade like a professional investor.
Yeah.
Or how to build a portfolio like a professional investor. It says how to think like one.
That is the pivotal word in the entire phrase, think. Yeah. By focusing on cognition rather than action, the title fundamentally shifts the nature of the promise. If it said how to trade, the criteria for success would be entirely external and measurable.
Right. You just look at your bank account.
You could look at the math, look at the historical data, and verify if the trading strategy actually works. But how to think internalizes the process. It targets your identity.
It's almost, I mean, it's aspirational.
Very aspirational.
It implies that the mechanics of investing, you know, the buying, the selling, the endless spreadsheets are actually secondary. The real barrier to entry isn't how much capital you have. It's your psychological methodology.
Yes. It implies a cognitive hierarchy. It establishes this stark dichotomy between the reader, who presumably does not currently think like a professional, and the idealized professional, who possesses the superior cognitive framework.
Like they operate on a higher plane.
Exactly. It operates on the premise that there is a distinct amateur mindset, which is probably flawed, emotional, reactive, easily spooked by market volatility, and a distinct professional mindset, which is disciplined, analytical, and objective.
Well, wait, let me push back on that for a second.
Yeah.
Is that actually true? Does a quote-unquote professional investor mindset even exist as a singular thing?
That's the million-dollar question.
Because if I think about the most famous investors in the world, they all think completely differently. I mean, Warren Buffett thinks in terms of decades and deep fundamental value, right?
Right.
But a high-frequency quantitative trader thinks in terms of microseconds and algorithmic arbitrage. And then a venture capitalist thinks in terms of massive high-risk disruption.
They're completely different paradigms.
Yeah, they are all professional investors, but their cognitive frameworks are entirely contradictory.
And that is exactly why analyzing this empty title is so revealing. You just hit on the core deception of the phrase.
Oh, really?
Yes. The title, How to Think Like a Professional Investor, relies on the linguistic illusion of a monolith. It flattens a highly diverse, complex ecosystem of competing financial philosophies into a single, unified archetype.
Wow.
It relies entirely on the reader's pre-existing, vaguely defined concept of what a professional actually is.
So it's basically letting the reader do all the work.
Exactly.
It's providing an empty bucket labeled professional and trusting that I will just fill it with whatever traits I personally associate with success.
Exactly. This is where the syntax functions almost like a psychological inkblot test.
A Rorschach test for finance.
Precisely. The word professional is doing an enormous amount of heavy lifting here. In our culture, professional is a very loaded signifier. It denotes exclusivity, competence, emotional detachment, insider knowledge.
The guy in the suit who never panics.
Right. By promising to teach you how to think like this idealized figure, the title is actually selling you a feeling of superiority. It's selling you the idea that you can transcend the anxious, reactionary masses and join the calm, rational elite.
Okay, so we've established that how-to promises a transactional shortcut, and think targets our identity and internal psychology rather than external mechanics.
Correct.
And professional investor creates this false monolith that relies on our own cultural assumptions. But I feel like the key piece of the puzzle here is the word like. How to think like.
Yes. The mechanism of mimicry.
Mimicry.
Yeah. Like is a fascinating preposition here because it bridges the gap between your current identity and the aspirational identity. It doesn't say how to be a professional investor.
Oh, right. Because that would be way too much work.
Exactly. That would require you to get a job at a hedge fund, manage billions of dollars, pass regulatory exams like the Series 7. That is a massive, tangible barrier to entry.
But thinking like what? I mean, I could do that from my couch in my pajamas.
Exactly. It democratizes the feeling of expertise without requiring the actual credentials of expertise.
That is so true.
It is cognitive cosplay.
Cognitive cosplay. I love that phrase.
It really is. And this is a very specific linguistic tactic used everywhere in modern media and publishing. By promising you the mindset of an expert, it completely bypasses the grueling, often tedious reality of actually becoming an expert.
It's a massive shortcut.
It suggests that success is primarily a matter of attitude and perspective rather than, you know, capital connections or decades of grinding analytical work.
That is incredibly potent.
Yeah.
Because it taps directly into the Dunning-Kruger effect, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if I read a listicle with an authoritative title, I suddenly feel equipped with the knowledge of an expert, even though I've only engaged with a really superficial summary.
You get the dopamine hit of learning without the friction of studying.
Right. I feel like I'm thinking like a pro, which might actually make me more dangerous to myself than if I just admitted I was an amateur. Like, I might go blow my life savings on options trading because I read a headline.
That is a brilliant connection. The Dunning-Kruger effect is exactly what is at play when we consume highly authoritative titles without the underlying substance.
It's a false confidence.
We mistake our fluency with the vocabulary of a topic for actual competence in the execution of the topic. The title gives us the vocabulary. It tells us we are learning the professional way.
Wow.
And when the text itself is missing, as it is in our source today, well, that cognitive trap becomes even more apparent.
Which brings us back to the actual void itself.
Mm-hmm.
We have this masterfully constructed title, this psychological trap designed to make us crave the shortcut, adopt the identity, and engage in cognitive cosplay.
Right.
And then the source just abruptly ends. Nothing. Null.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at what happens in the brain when that expectation is met with an absolute vacuum.
What does happen?
Well, in neuroscience and psychology, there is a concept similar to what amputees experience called phantom limb syndrome.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Right. The brain is so used to receiving signals from a limb that even when the limb is literally gone, the brain continues to fire receptors. It anticipates sensory input that just isn't there anymore, so it generates its own sensations to fill the void.
The phantom limb syndrome of information consumption. That is wild.
It's exactly what's happening here.
So my brain reads this highly stimulating title. It primes all these receptors for financial strategy, for psychological insights, for that dopamine hit of feeling smarter when the text isn't there. My brain just starts firing anyway.
Exactly. Your brain abhors an information vacuum just as much as nature abhors a physical vacuum.
We just can't stand the emptiness.
We really can't, because we are so conditioned by the endless stream of content in our daily lives. I mean, we are constantly scrolling, constantly reading headlines, constantly absorbing hot takes.
It never stops.
Right. Our cognitive machinery is essentially permanently revved up. So when we encounter a sudden stop, a totally blank page beneath a compelling title, we don't just passively accept the emptiness. We actively start generating our own text to fill it.
So what does this all mean in practice? Like, give me an example of how that works. If I'm sitting there staring at this empty document, how am I generating the text?
It all comes back to confirmation bias. Because the title is an empty vessel labeled professional, you will fill it with whatever your pre-existing biases tell you a professional is.
Oh, I see.
Let's say you are a listener who strongly believes in high-risk, high-reward disruptive technologies. You read How to Think Like a Professional Investor, and because the text is empty, you subconsciously assume the missing text is about being aggressive.
Right. Spotting asymmetrical opportunities, ignoring traditional indicators.
Exactly. You fill it with your own preferred strategy.
Okay. And if I'm a listener who is a diehard fan of conservative low-fee index funds,
yeah,
I read the exact same empty title, and my brain fills the void by assuming the missing text is about extreme patience.
Yes.
Ignoring market noise, minimizing fees, trusting the long-term macroeconomic trends.
Precisely. You both read the exact same blank page, and you both walked away feeling validated in your pre-existing belief.
That is fascinating.
The title acted merely as a mirror. You authored the text yourself, using your own assumptions, but because it was presented under the authoritative banner of a source document, you attributed your own thoughts to the external authority of the imagined professional investor.
Wow. That is actually terrifying.
It is a little bit, yeah.
Because it means that when we aren't given the specific how and why behind a headline, we just hallucinate the details to match what we already want to be true.
Yes.
We use the authority of the headline to launder our own opinions back to ourselves.
Laundering our own opinions back to ourselves, that is a perfect way to phrase it. And this is exactly why encountering an empty source is not just a frustrating clerical error. It is a profound lesson in media literacy.
It really is.
It forces us to confront the boundary between the promise of a concept and the actual verifiable substance of a concept.
It's the ultimate check on our intellectual reflexes.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, how often do we do this in our real lives, even when the text isn't missing?
All the time.
Right. How often do we skim a headline on our phones, maybe read the first sentence of an article, and then just confidently assume we know exactly what the rest of the piece says, based purely on our own biases?
This raises an important question about the mechanics of modern reading. We have essentially transitioned from a culture of deep reading to a culture of heuristic processing.
Heuristic processing.
Yeah, a heuristic is just a mental shortcut. It allows people to solve problems and make judgments quickly and efficiently.
Like a rule of thumb.
Exactly. And in our media diet, headlines, titles, and bullet points are the ultimate cognitive heuristics. They allow us to categorize information without actually processing it.
Oh, I do that constantly. I'll see a title, categorize it as, oh, that's an article about why tech stocks are falling. Mm-hmm. I file that category away in my brain and I feel informed.
Yeah.
I feel like I've consumed the knowledge, but I've really just categorized the idea of the knowledge.
Exactly. We mistake the taxonomy for the organism. We mistake the map for the territory.
That is a great analogy.
The danger of a brilliantly crafted title like How to Think Like a Professional Investor is that it is so rhetorically satisfying, so perfectly aligned with our aspirational desires, that the actual text almost becomes irrelevant.
Right. Who even needs to read it?
Exactly. The title feels like a complete thought.
But it's not. It's a hypothesis without an experiment. It's a claim without evidence.
Exactly.
Which means, as analysts trying to break this down for the listener, we're suspended in midair here. We can't endorse the idea that there is a professional mindset, and we can't refute it either because we haven't been given the methodology.
And being comfortable in that suspension, being able to hold a compelling title in your mind without immediately surrendering to it or filling it with your own assumptions, that is the true mark of critical thinking.
It takes discipline.
It takes immense intellectual discipline.
Mm.
It is the ability to recognize an information void and leave it empty until you have verifiable data to fill it.
It's like we are standing in front of this beautifully wrapped gift box. The wrapping paper is stunning. The bow is perfect. The tag says it contains the absolute secret to wealth and success.
Right.
And you are telling me that the most important skill I can develop is the ability to pick up that box, realize it weighs absolutely nothing, and calmly put it back down without needing to tear it open and pretend there's something invisible inside.
Yes. You must demand the weight of substance.
The weight of substance. I love that.
In a world characterized by overwhelming information overload, where we are bombarded with literally thousands of titles, hooks, and promises every single day, the greatest vulnerability you have as a learner is not ignorance.
What is it?
Your greatest vulnerability is the illusion of knowledge created by reading the labels on empty boxes.
Wow. Which brings us full circle to why we are doing this today.
Mm-hmm.
You, the listener, came here to get smarter. And initially, it felt like we failed you by bringing an empty source to the table. It's like, sorry, we got nothing today.
But we didn't fail them.
No. Because the reality is, recognizing the emptiness is the actionable insight.
Exactly.
The ability to stop, look at a compelling headline, and actively ask yourself, wait, what is the actual mechanism here? Where's the how and the why? That is a far more valuable skill than memorizing another generic list of financial tips.
It is the foundation of analytical rigor.
Yeah.
When you encounter a title that promises to teach you how to think, your immediate response should not be passive acceptance. It should be aggressive inquiry.
Ask the hard questions.
You must ask, what are the parameters of this thought process? What is the empirical evidence that this thought process yields better results? Who defined the baseline of professionalism being used here? And perhaps most importantly, what are their underlying incentives?
Yes, you have to interrogate the premise, because if you don't, you are just a passenger on someone else's rhetorical journey. And as we've seen today, sometimes that journey leads literally nowhere.
It drops off a cliff.
Exactly. You have to be the one demanding the map.
And that demand for the map, that insistence on causal logic and empirical evidence, is paradoxically what actually separates an amateur thinker from a rigorous professional thinker.
Oh, wow.
The amateur accepts the title as reality. The professional demands the text.
That is an incredible turnaround. By analyzing a document that promised to teach us how to think like a professional, but gave us absolutely no information, we actually ended up discovering the fundamental trait of a professional thinker anyway.
Which is the refusal to accept a premise without substance.
The emptiness of the source forced us to generate the methodology ourselves. Not by projecting our biases onto the void, like we talked about earlier, but by analyzing the boundaries of the void itself.
Precisely. We didn't learn how a professional investor allocates assets, but we did learn how a critical thinker evaluates information.
And that is a tool you can use across every single domain of your life, not just finance.
Everywhere.
Whether you are reading a news article, a medical journal, a self-help book, or just a tweet, you now have that phantom limb alarm system primed and ready.
You'll feel it happen.
You will recognize when your brain is trying to do the heavy lifting that the author failed to do.
That is the ultimate takeaway. Recognizing the boundary between what you have actually been told and what you have assumed based on the packaging.
I love it. We set out today to explore the deep, complex mindset of a professional investor, expecting to find actionable strategies and hard truths about the market.
And instead, we found a mirror.
Exactly. We were handed a completely blank slate, a title that stood as a monolith, offering no entry, no explanation, and no resolution. And honestly, I gotta say, it might be the most valuable deep dive we've ever done.
I agree.
Because it proves, in the most stark, undeniable terms possible, that a catchy title might grab your attention. I mean, it certainly grabbed ours, but true learning requires you to look past the headline.
You have to do the work.
It requires you to demand the mechanisms, the whys, and the hows. You have to open the book, and you have to make sure there is ink on the pages before you let it change your mind.
And this really raises an important question about our daily media consumption. How often do we skim a headline and mistakenly assume we have absorbed the knowledge of the entire article?
Too often. We spent this entire time talking about that empty void and how our brains rush to fill it. But I want to leave you, the listener, with one final provocative thought to mull over on your own as you go about your day.
Leave them with a challenge.
Picture yourself sitting in that quiet, empty space. You are standing at the starting line of an intellectual journey, staring at those words, how to think like a professional investor, with absolutely no instructions on how to do it.
Just the blank pages.
If you are forced to fill those blank pages yourself, and you are strictly forbidden from using any of your own pre-existing biases or assumptions, what is the very first foundational question you would have to ask to start uncovering the truth from scratch?